Praise God. Amen. John chapter 2. Amen. You stand, if you would, for the reading of the Word of God today. Amen. We're going to begin at the first verse. All right. Amen. Praise God. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise God. John chapter 2, we're going to begin at verse 1. Amen. We're going to read the first 11 verses, a little more than what we typically read, maybe. Amen. Praise God. We're thankful again for everybody that's here today.
Yes.
Amen. We love you this morning, too. Truly mean that. Thankful for that. Let me say this. At the end of the day, I'm not about buildings, and I'm not about fine things. The ultimate vision that God gives us is to love Him and to love people. Amen. And my desire more than anything else is to see people saved, discipled, delivered, set free, walking in the freedom that I've experienced. Amen. And however God provides for us to do that, I want to do that. So I want you to understand that today. Amen. Praise God that I believe that at the end of the day, that's the vision that we should hold fast to. Amen. Is that seeing people, amen, helped and saved. Praise God. But, amen. No, it takes money to do that. Praise God. Amen. John chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour is not yet come. His mother said unto that saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, said unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but that has kept the good wine until now. The beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him.
Yes.
Amen. We're going to blast the shofar, and we want you to give the Lord praise for his word today. Come on, let's not hold it back. Amen. Come on, let's break the atmosphere this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We pray the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Amen, amen. You may be seated, praise God. Amen. And if the Lord will allow me, I want to minister on this song, the best is yet to come. Amen. The best is yet to come. Look at your neighbor and prophesy a little bit this morning. The best is yet to come. Amen. When we look at John's writing of the gospel, amen, we see that it's different. Amen. Quite a bit different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Amen. His writing, praise God, is a little bit different. His account of Jesus' life is different. The other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, included some really significant events, amen, in Jesus' life that John left out. Amen. For example, his birth. Amen. His baptism. Amen. The temptation in the wilderness when he came out of the Jordan. Amen. Confrontation with demons. Amen. He left out parables, the teaching of the parables. We don't see the Last Supper in John's gospel. Amen. We don't see Jesus, amen, and his suffering in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we don't see the ascension, amen, in the book of John like we do in some of the other gospels. Matthew shows Jesus as a promised Messiah. Matthew shows him as the one, amen, coming from Abraham, from that seed, that promised Messiah. Mark shows Jesus as a servant. We see Jesus in the book of Mark as a servant. Amen. Luke shows him as a perfect man. Luke gives Jesus as that one that walked without sin. But John gives us Jesus as God in the flesh. Amen. John gives us a picture of Jesus just a little bit different. But John also records, amen, that Jesus did so much that it could not be contained in the books. He said at the end of his writing that Jesus did so much more than what is written here, amen, that it would not even be able to be contained in the books. That's why we cannot, amen, have a closed mind when it comes to what Jesus does and who he is. Now, everything that he does and what he is will always be in alignment with the written word of God. Amen. But sometimes we think if it's not written in the Bible that he did it, amen, that that's all he did. We see that, amen, maybe he, hallelujah, did one miracle once or twice and we think that was it. But that's not the case according to John. We'll never know the magnitude that Jesus had on the earth when he was here walking in his ministry. We will never know the multitudes of people that Jesus was able to impact, that his presence alone was able to make a difference in their life. We'll never know the measures that Jesus went to by the will of the Father, amen, to go here or go there or to say this or to stop by the way and minister to this person. We'll never know, amen, praise God, but what we do know is the Bible says everything we do in secret, amen, we shall be rewarded openly. And so we know that he finished his mission. He died on the cross and he rose on the third day. So we know that whatever he did, hallelujah, that reward was with him. So I want to encourage you today, and I don't say this flippantly, and I don't say this in a negative aspect, amen, but we don't see everything that everybody does for the kingdom just because it's not posted or written on Facebook. I believe we ought to exalt and we should testify. Amen. Listen, the devil uses social media, amen, for his purpose and his glory. Amen. And so I believe that anything we can use to glorify God, we should, but not to glorify ourselves or to glorify a ministry, but to glorify God. Hallelujah. So you'll never know. Listen to me. This is why it's vital that we seek and walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. This is why, listen to me, amen, just for a minute here. This is why it's important for us to stay in fellowship with the Lord. That's why the power of the Holy Ghost is so much more than a tongue talker. Listen, hallelujah, when Peter walked, the Bible says that even his shadow had the ability to heal and deliver. Come on, somebody. So you never know when you walk into a place or when you walk into a room just how many demonic spirits that you scatter, that just your presence causes sickness to pay attention. And it's all because of Jesus, but I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. Amen. And amen. Our church culture today wants to downplay the gifts. They want to downplay the power of the Holy Ghost. But I will tell you, amen, as for Judah Tabernacle, we still believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. We still believe that you can be filled. Amen. We still believe that evidence of that baptism is speaking in an unknown tongue. We still believe in the gifts of the Spirit in operation in unity. Hallelujah. If you don't have the baptism today, I seek you, amen, I implore you to seek to let yourself be filled. Come on, somebody. Do you hear me? Hallelujah. You'll never know the impact that you will have in the kingdom until you receive your just reward. Amen. So don't let yourself get discouraged. Don't allow yourself to get distracted. Do not allow yourself to get weighed down and burdened down with circumstances and situations and people's actions and what they say and what they don't say and what they do and what they don't do. Don't let yourself get distraught by the way somebody treats you. Listen, I'll be 60. Hallelujah. I'm done over that stuff. Come on, somebody wants to talk about me, go right on ahead. It might tinge for a little moment, but at my age, it usually ticks me off. Hallelujah. I don't get offended much about it anymore. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? But I want to tell you today, we got a race to run. We got a fight to fight. We got a reward that we're seeking after, and we are better together. And whenever the enemy uses somebody to make you feel separated, you should push that much harder to be in a relationship or to be unified. Come on, somebody, do you hear that? Because he does not want us in unity. That ain't a Pentecostal thing, that's a gospel thing. The first three gospels focus more on what Jesus taught and what he did. John focuses more on who he is. Come on. I could preach right there, but I won't. I said the other three gospels focus more on what Jesus taught and what he did. John focuses more on who Jesus is. And he shows us this by highlighting seven miracles of Jesus or signs. Do you know that a miracle is a sign? Amen. It is a sign that Jesus is there. Amen. Do you understand? Listen, I've told you before, but I feel to say it again. That's what the Jews will never question a miracle. They know that miracles come only from Yahweh. They know that miracles come only, amen, from Jehovah. So when they see a miracle, they cannot deny. That's why the Bible says they're going to be grabbing a hold of the curtail, amen, of the coattail in these days and saying, tell us about this Jesus that you are serving. John just said, you may not understand me. You may not know what he's doing. You may not be able to figure out how it's going to happen. But you just need to know who he is. And if he's there, the power of a miracle is present. Are you with me today? Don't you get away from me this morning. Six of these seven miracles are not even mentioned in the first three Gospels. In John, there are seven I am statements that Jesus has made that are not in the Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Seven times the statement I am the I am he. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me? I'm just trying to get your amen to understand. Hallelujah. Why John would give us such a amen, would record the things that he did. John establishes that the Word of God is the source. He said the Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. And then Jesus said, I am Alpha, I am Omega, I am the beginning. I'm the first and the last. Hallelujah. I am. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me today? John tells us that in God is life and light, and that darkness cannot overcome this light. So I don't care how dark it gets in the world, it cannot overcome the light of Jesus. We saw some darkness this week, amen, this past week in the world, but it cannot overcome the light that was there in the beginning. It cannot, amen, unhinge. Do you know everything that the enemy does, and even everything that God lets him accomplish, it cannot unhinge his word from a man existence. It cannot remove one jot or one tittle of who He is. John testifies of John the Baptist and his purpose as the forerunner of this I am, this Jesus, this Son of God. Amen. And that John is the Baptist is to bear witness of this light. Amen. That he was the Word made flesh. He was the Word of God. Amen. Made flesh. Taken on. Hallelujah. The personhood, humanity. Hallelujah. So that you and I could be free. Amen. John the Baptist testified of Jesus. Amen. When they asked who he was, they said to John the Baptist, well, are you Elias? Are you Elijah? Are you this Messiah? He said, no, I'm not the one. Hallelujah. I baptize with water, but there's one coming after me whose sandals I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unlatch. And when he comes, hallelujah, he will not just baptize you with water, but he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Somebody needs to get set on fire into the tabernacle today. This morning, hallelujah, take your hand and stir your belly. You don't like you lack something. Say, God, stir up the fire within me. Stir up, God, everything that is you inside of me. Hallelujah. That one coming after me, he said, I'm not even worthy to sit down and loose the strap on his sandal, let alone be in the same category as him.
Come on,
somebody. Ooh, hallelujah. And man, it says, the next day, Jesus showed up at the Jordan. Oh, hallelujah. How many's ever been in that place? So the next day, Jesus showed up. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Behold, that's the one. That he said, there's one. I love it because when they asked him who he was, and he said, I'm not even close to that, but the one coming after me, I'm not even worthy. Amen. But he said, there's one that is among you that you don't even know it. He's among you and you don't even know who he is. God help us, what a sad state that is. For Jesus to be in the midst and someone not be able to recognize him. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But then he said, behold the Lamb of God. And we know that when Jesus went down in the Jordan, that a dove, amen, descended upon him. And the heavens opened and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. And the Bible, John now begins to tell us that disciples begin to follow Jesus. See, John the Baptist had disciples. This is why John got real upset when he was about to have his head cut off. And Jesus sent to ask him if he was okay. Come on. Because all those disciples that he once had were now following Jesus. Come on, aren't you glad that Jesus is the only one that has the rights to corner the market on the gospel? Hallelujah. Come on. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So the disciples begin to follow Jesus. And then John tells us that now on the third day, see, the days were being tracked. John was tracking the days. And that third day was after, amen, Nathanael had been called, amen, to follow Jesus as a disciple. Amen. John was keeping track of the days. Can I tell you that God is keeping track of your days? God is keeping Come on, somebody. He's got his eyes and his hands upon the people, hallelujah, that follow him. Praise God. Amen. And so it says now that on the third day, following Nathanael being called to follow Jesus as a disciple, that Jesus and his disciples were invited to a wedding. They were invited to a wedding. Now, you understand that this wedding was in Cana, which was in Galilee. Now, what you have to understand about weddings in Galilee, they were different from the weddings in Judea because, amen, the population in Galilee was mostly poverty. The population in Galilee was mostly poor people. And so the weddings in Galilee were more simple. Amen. They weren't as extravagant, amen, as they were in Judea. So the celebrations were much simpler. Hallelujah. So inviting folks, amen, everybody didn't just get an invitation. Are you with me? Hallelujah. It wasn't just come one and come all. Are you understanding? Because the ability to celebrate was limited. Hallelujah. But Jesus and his disciples got invited, amen, to this marriage celebration, this wedding. Can I tell you that it's important, it's vital that you invite Jesus into your life events. Amen. Every big thing that you go to do in your life, you need to invite Jesus there first. And if, come on, somebody help me. And if Jesus shows up, then you know, hallelujah, that you've got, amen, his wisdom, his guidance, his approval. Come on, somebody. I don't know who I'm talking to right there, but you need to quit making decisions that leave Jesus out. You need to quit making big choices that leave, amen, Jesus out of the equation. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me today? Hey, with me, I'm still laying the foundation. So, John tells us that his mother, Mary, was there as well. And so they're sitting there. Obviously, Jesus sat with his mom. Lord, help us. There's some today that can't even do that. Come on. And I don't mean because they're not there. I mean because they refuse to. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. So obviously Jesus was sitting with his mother, and the Bible tells us, John gives us a description, amen, again, amen, that none of the other gospels, writers of the gospels gave us, that John says that the celebration was happening, the wedding, people were celebrating, enjoying, having a good time. It was a 7-day celebration, typically, amen, the celebration of the wedding, amen, of a Jewish wedding, and it was a big deal, amen. It was something, amen, that was just not taken lightly. And so we don't know how much time transpired, but we know that the celebration was happening, and people were drinking, amen, the wine, and they were, amen, eating whatever, I don't know the extent of what it was, amen, praise God, but they ran out of wine, amen. There was a, amen, hallelujah, ran out of wine. See, here's what you got to understand. The host obviously underestimated the amount of wine that it was going to take, amen, to adequately supply the guests in this celebration. Are you with me? Amen. They underestimated, amen, who was going to show up. Amen. They didn't take into account, amen, the amount that was needed. Amen. And so they had a minimum provision because they were poor. So you see, those who were more wealthy, when they ran out of wine, they could have sent a servant and said, go, amen, to the wine cellar and get us some more wine. We're out of wine. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Hallelujah. But you see, this was a different situation because it was in Galilee. This was a poor, amen, a poor person's wedding celebration. And the host underestimated, and he had minimum provision. You have to understand that this would be a social disgrace. Amen. It would never be forgotten. Amen. If you had a wedding celebration, and you ran out of wine before the celebration was over. Come on, somebody. I need you to understand here. And so, amen, the host, hallelujah, would have been in a very difficult situation and position. Even though he was poor, he would have been the talk of the town. He would have been, well, don't ever go. Amen. If Ezekiel, amen, over there invites you to a wedding, don't go, because he'll never have enough wine. We went, and can you believe that we ran out of wine? Can you believe that he invited us and didn't have enough wine to finish the celebration? Oh, come on, don't act like we don't act like that with God. You called me to this, and you brought me here, and now I don't have enough, or I don't have what I need, or I don't see my way through, or I don't understand what you're doing. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And then people want to run and talk. Hallelujah. And say, yeah, well, you know what happened to Mandy and Shane? Oh, yeah, you know, they all for the kingdom, but they ran out. Something happened. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So you got to understand that this was not just like running out of water. Amen. It was not just like, okay, well, the party's over, because there was a set appointment. Come on, somebody. You got to understand, hallelujah, that God does not work on our time. Amen. We preached it many, many times before, but it's imperative that I tell you right now, God does not operate on our time. Our time is linear. Our time goes from this to this to this to this to this to this. God's time is circular. Hallelujah. He has no concept of time. He set it up for us with the moon and the sun and the stars. Hallelujah. For us to follow it, because our finite minds cannot comprehend that he is infinite. That's why goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. Come on, somebody. And I will dwell in the household of God forever. Will somebody help me? We get a deadline here on earth. God says, I don't know anything about that. I just know that if you keep on following me, my mercy and my goodness are going to catch up with you. It's going to catch up. Somebody help me. I'm just waiting for it to catch up today. Hallelujah. And Mary told Jesus, they're out of wine. Jesus was like, woman, what's that got anything to do with me? I was invited here. My time has not come yet. I'm nothing but just a guest like everybody else. He said, what does your concern have to do with me? So you got to notice something. Jesus' words, John's writing and telling us how Jesus spoke to his mother. Yep. He didn't say, well, mother, I've been there, done that. Mother, may God, may she rest, which I know she is. There's plenty of times I was like, Mom. She tells me something like that, Mom. He didn't say, Mother, that doesn't have anything to do with me. He addressed her as a woman. Now, this was not derogatory. He was not being disrespectful to her. But at this point, he was separating his relationship from his calling. Well. See, he could no longer be her son and her his mother now, because that relationship was not going to change, because he knew there was going to be a day that she was going to be at his feet while he was hanging on the cross, broken and bruised as his mother. But he had to let her know, this is not your son. This is your Savior. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? This is your Messiah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. Your son's, your purpose and your son's mission has been fulfilled. Now I'm getting ready to be your Savior. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? separating that relationship and separating her as his mother. It was a different relationship now, because now he had to consult the Father and his will. Come on, somebody. Some historians say that Joseph was dead by this time. That his earthly father, her husband Joseph, had died by this time, and that Mary was a widow. I don't know. But you see, he was telling her, it's not your choice. It's not your decision. Because I now come to do the Father's will. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? I want you to hear me today. And he said, my time to be revealed isn't here yet. Can I tell you that timing is important when we are in relationship with God?
Come on now.
We can get ahead of ourselves. We can delay God. We can postpone blessings. We can cancel provision. Come on, somebody. We can bring setbacks, amen, by our choices. And so Jesus was saying that timing is important. See, you gotta understand that God's will isn't our preferences. I said, God's will is not our preference. Well, I prefer that it not be this way. Well, if it is the will of God, then that's how it must be. But we've got to be subject to the will of God. Come on, somebody. And Jesus was subject to the will of God. So he was saying, Mother, amen, woman, it is not up to me or you to decide what I do. It is now up to the Father. Obviously, Jesus consulted the Father, or he would not have acted upon, amen, the way that he did. Obviously, amen, he did not do anything, amen, in his own ability. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. But Jesus was saying, amen. See, that's why we got to quit seeking people's opinions. We got to stay so much away from what somebody else thinks. What you ought and what you not and what you should and what you would and what you could. Come on, somebody, do you understand me? Because it's not our will, but it's the Father's will. Hallelujah. Every move that we make in this crucial time in the earth needs to be in alignment with the will of God. We need to involve Jesus in every portion of our life. This is why we get fought so hard. This is why the battle is as intense as it is. This is why you're seeing, ooh, Jesus. Sister Mary Jo talked about the oxgoad this morning in our adult class. And I thought about the Apostle Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. Amen? And Jesus stopped him. He's like, who are you? Well, I'm the one you've been resisting all this time. How long are you going to kick against the prick? Amen. Because they would take the ox goad and they would prick, amen, the backside, amen, of that ox, amen, amen, as they were pulling the yoke. And that ox would be like, I don't want to move. I don't want to go any faster. I don't want to. He would kick against that prick, amen. And Jesus asked Paul, said, how long are you going to do that? How long are you going to kick against the pricks? Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Do you understand me today? Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, amen. Praise God. The Lord, amen, wants us to know that it is important for us to understand the will of God. Come on. Amen. The stuff that's happening right now, do you understand? It's such a counterbalance, because these things that are happening in the world, the explicit, blatant displays of evil and sin and debauchery and mockery, amen, that the world, amen, that's how we're supposed to act, first of all. I don't know why we're surprised that they act like the world, amen, because that's how they don't know any better, amen, they're ignorant to the truth. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But do you know, on one side, the enemy wants to, he wants to prick you and see how you're going to respond. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So we got to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Hallelujah. We got to stand against, amen, sin. We got to stand up, amen, and hold up a standard. But we also got to be careful that we don't give the enemy any more spotlight that he already has received. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. So you gotta just let the will of God. And it's so important. Hang with me. And she looked at the servants and she said, okay, whatever he says to do, do it. So if he says don't do anything, don't do it. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And the Bible says there were 6 empty water pots. And he said, I want you to go get those water pots, and I want you to fill them up to the brim. Amen. And the Bible said they held 20 or 30 gallons each. The amount of water could vary in those water pots. The amount of water was unknown. Amen. They didn't know how much water it was going to take, but he said, fill them up to the brim. Amen. Take it up as high as you can go. Don't let it overflow, but take it to the brim. Hallelujah. Now it's interesting. Amen. Praise God. Because the water represents different things in the Bible. I'm going here today. I've never went here. I looked, I preached, amen, as early as last year in this chapter. Hallelujah. But I've never went here, amen, where the Lord has taken me today. Hallelujah. But water represents different things in the Bible. It symbolizes the Holy Spirit. Water also symbolizes new birth. It symbolizes eternal life. Water also symbolizes, amen, a cleansing. But water also symbolizes troublesome times in life that come our way. This is why the Bible mentions a cup of suffering. Amen. So water not only represents the Holy Spirit or symbolizes, amen, the Holy Spirit, amen, or blessing, amen, or provision or eternal life, but it also represents, amen, troublesome times. If I can put it plainly, it represents suffering. It represents those times that come, hallelujah, to try us, amen, those times that trouble us, those times when we are forced with our back against the wall, the times when our hands are tied, but God is in control. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now the water would also, this water would have been used. The reason those water pots were there is because that they were used to fill up with water for purification. Amen. To make a person to get rid of impurities. Amen. Washing them away. Washing the body for purification. Amen. To wash away the impurities. To make a person ready for fellowship and worship. Amen. That's why the Bible says the washing of the water of the word. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Amen. So this water would have been used for purification purposes. Amen. To wash away any impurities. That when you sat down to fellowship, when you took off your sandals, that you washed the earth. You washed what was on the outside off. So that when you come on the inside, nothing on the outside has any effect on what's happening on the inside. You get back next Sunday. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what the world will do for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you don't know what to do, you have nothing else to do but go in the Word. And what got on you from the outside, when you get into the Word and the presence of God, the Word will wash it off, wash it away, and it will not be able to have an effect on your life. Hallelujah. used to wash away the impurities, to make a person ready for fellowship and worship. Can I tell you that the troubles, the trials, and the sufferings that we are purposed to endure, are you with me? They are to purify us, to prepare us for fellowship and worship. Everything that God does in our lives, anything that God allows in our lives, is for nothing other than to draw us into a deeper communion and fellowship with Him. It's not, that means that you start walking in your calling, then that's the truth. But can I tell you, amen, nothing trumps, amen, a deeper consecration with the Lord. Not your gift, not your calling, not your talent, not your ability, not your purpose. Nothing takes away from that, takes precedence over that. So, the sufferings and the troubles and the furnaces and the lion's dens and the flooded waters. Can I get a witness in this place? Someone looking sour at me this morning. Amen. Either pucker up or buckle up. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's onward march. Amen. From where you are. You want to go back, you're going to miss it. But it's forward march. Amen. It's straight ahead. Hallelujah, so pucker up and be a leaper, buckle up and hold on. Hallelujah, come on, because going back is not an option. Letting go is not an option. Amen? Are you with me? Some of you are.
I am.
So that we used to sing a song, He will calm the waters of your soul. Take your broken heart, make it whole.
Yeah.
If the storms of your life grow dark and cold, He will calm the troubled waters of your soul.
Well,
now. Yeah. Won't
you
do it?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't always understand a lot of you soul. Amen.
Yeah.
Any of you that are familiar with Southern Gospel know who the Nealons are.
Yeah.
Amen. On Friday, they had plans to land in Seattle. They had plans to go on an Alaskan cruise with the Gaither homecoming. And they had their own private plane. And they did a live video of everybody sitting on the plane saying, wheels up, we're headed to Wyoming or somewhere. I can't remember. They were going to go eat. So they were going to land somewhere and eat, and then they were going to fly to Seattle. And somebody commented, and she made a post and said, pray for safe travels. Pray that we have no storms. And their plane crashed in Wyoming. 7 people, 6 of them I know knew Jesus. I don't know about the pilot. I don't know if the pilot knew Jesus or not. But 7 people lost their lives. A daughter lost her mom, her dad, her sister, and her brother-in-law in one swoop. 7 of them lost their lives. Talk about troubled waters. To top it off, she's almost 30 weeks pregnant with her first baby. Their first grandchild they'll never meet. Only Jesus could sustain. Only the peace of God that surpasses anything that we comprehend and picks up everything that we don't understand and fights on our behalf. Only the peace of God. Why would God allow such a thing? these things happen, why must they suffer? We don't understand. But they come. They will happen. Thank God for hope.
Yes.
The hope that they will see that again. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But my point is that somehow, some way, in all of God's infinite mercy and grace and wisdom and power, somewhere in that horrible, tragic situation, He will make good. And that remaining daughter and her husband will be strong. When it's all done. Then they were. When they had plans, they drove, they went a different way. And they were met at Seattle at the hotel with the news that they're all gone. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. But somehow, now, here she is, drinking this cup of suffering. That happened Friday afternoon. When she got to the hotel, she had to swallow it. She went to bed Friday night. She woke up Saturday morning. I remember when my mom passed. And this is no way comparing to what she's going through, and I don't mean it that way, but I'm talking about. Listen, death is death is death.
Right.
Loss is loss is loss. Grief is grief is grief. But I remember my mom passed on a Friday afternoon as well. And I remember going to bed on Friday night. I remember waking up on that Saturday morning. And when I first opened my eyes, it was just another day. And I remember so vividly when my feet hit the floor, it hit me. Mom is gone. And I lost that. Got it together, and I went to the bathroom and washed my face and got my composure, and I stepped out of the bathroom and I walked past the mirror. A wall mirror there, and I walked past the mirror and caught my image, and it hit me. Mom is gone. And it happened all over again. She gets up this morning. They had plans to be on a ship singing the gospel, worshiping God, praising Him on an Alaskan cruise, but this morning she had a drink. They're all gone. The excitement of this first child, they're all gone. Now she's drinking that water. It's bitter. That cup of suffering. No doubt, she's made a couple of amazing posts, but I know, and anyone of you that's been there, you know that when you're in the midnight hour, and sometimes you're just there, it's just you and the reality and Jesus, and you're just like hanging on to Jesus's. Just touching.
Yeah.
And so today, so for a while, every time she stands up to sing, she's got drink those troubled waters. Are you with me this morning? All the while. See, here's the thing. She don't get to decide how much, how long, or how hard it's going to be. He said, fill them up to 20 to 30 gallons apiece. They weren't real sure how much water went in each one. And can I tell you that when it comes to our trials and it comes to our troubles and it comes to our suffering. I don't know who I'm talking to today other than me. Hallelujah, praise God. And I've done repented and I've done been there with it, amen. But listen to me, when it comes to how much water, how much of that water is in the cup, we don't get to decide. We don't get to decide when it runs out. We don't get to decide how long we have to drink it. Are you with me? Because here's the thing. The will of God is decided by our faith. Our faith gets tried in these troubled times. Every time we take a drink of these troubled waters, our faith is tried. But you see, the will of God isn't decided by our faith. Our faith gives the will of God permission to say whatever He says, do it. Whatever you want, God, do it. I lose every bit of me. God, you do it. Not my will. So your faith doesn't decide the will of God. It just gives the will of God permission to allow God to be God in your life. Faith establishes the sovereignty of God in your life. So you've got to put your trust in who Jesus is and not what He did. See, to Matthew, He was a servant. Come on. To Mark, He was a perfect man. Him being a perfect man really don't help me in the battle that I'm in right now. Don't tell me that Jesus did it without sin. Come on, have you ever told you that? Well, hang tight, hold on. Don't get in, because you know Jesus was a man without sin. Well, that don't mean good right now. You better come right now. Matthew's choosing saw Him as the Messiah. No, He's the Messiah, and He's coming back, but He ain't here yet. So my world today, this moment, is hard. This moment, this cup that I'm drinking, I don't like it. And I keep waiting for it to run out. But every time I take a drink, it seems as it fills back up again and again and again, and it never goes down. Are you with me? Have you ever had to take medicine? Anybody ever had a colonoscopy? You never have, praise Him. But if you have, if you've ever had the drink go lightly, it ain't light. It's in a big, looks like 4 gallons, plastic container. You mix water with it, the powder that's in it, you stick it in the refrigerator, let it get cold, and it tastes like you're drinking cold sweat. And the more you drink it, it seems like the more that's there. I have a weak stomach. Stuff makes me sick. I puke. I gag. It gives me a headache. It just is not a good thing. So if you ever had to take medicine, and you just, it feels like, is there ever an end to that? Hallelujah, when you get to the last drop of that mess. Pun intended. When you get to the last drop of that, you're like, thank you, Jesus. It's about to be over. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. I'm trying to show you something. We want it to run out. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. But the more that we drink, come on, hallelujah, it seems like it doesn't. See, amen. So our faith establishes the sovereignty of God in our lives. God, no matter what happens, you're still God. I don't understand why you took this from me. I don't understand why this is happening. I don't understand why we're here. I don't understand why this is happening again. But God, you're still God. You're still sovereign. You have not changed in these circumstances. Come on, somebody. Are you with me? I'm trying to finish today. See, our trust in His Word allows the suffering to do its work in making us who who he has called us to be. Amen. Our trust and our faith in his word allows it to work. He takes all things and works them together for our good. Come on, somebody, touch your neighbor and say, it's about to get good. It's about to get good. You see, God created the world with his word, but he saved the world with his wounds. Hallelujah. He created the world with his word, but he saved it with his wounds. See, sometimes, oh, hallelujah, you need to be spiritually minded to hear me. Sometimes the word isn't enough to get us through. We've got to be wounded, and we've got to deal with some stuff. We've got to deal with some circumstances that cut us, that hurt us, that bleed us, that bring us to a place of submission in order for God to have us where he needs us to be to walk out his purpose in our life. Jesus' suffering was necessary to bring us into fellowship with God. So his wounds were unavoidable. He said, God, I would rather not drink of this cup, but if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done.
Yes.
Amen. I thank God for his wounds. And I say this today, not equating myself or you to Jesus, but I'm thankful for the open wounds that I have right now in my life that are reminding me he is in control. Come on, somebody. Suffering can do more than we realize. He said, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. He said, the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. I don't believe that means when we get to eternity. I believe that pertains to us now. So the sufferings of this present time are not, amen, even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So everything that God has promised, all the good that God can do, has no comparison to the suffering that you're going through right now. It feels like it's hopeless. It feels like it's never going to end. It feels like that it's impossible. But there's glory coming.
Amen.
Three of you got that. The rest of you, I hope you get delivered so you can receive it. I mean that. So the water here in today's message represents all of that. Represents the suffering, the troubles, the persecution. The enemy knows. He knows when you're vulnerable. Somebody better help me. He knows when you're vulnerable. He hears what you pray. Well, hallelujah, but that's a fool. That's another reason why we need the Holy Ghost. Because when we don't know what to pray, we pray in the Spirit. And then the Spirit, brings the will of God into unity. Oh, come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, say man baptism today, you need.
Yes.
You need.
Yeah.
Come on. He knows just when to try and provoke you, irk you, poke you. Bless the Lord. I got somebody on my Facebook. I don't even really know them, but they poke me all the time. That's all the person that pokes me. I giggle. I'm like, stop poking me. If I don't poke you back, don't poke me again. I got time to poke. I get poked enough.
Right.
Just say hi. Just type it on the page. Hello. You with me? The enemy knows just when to come in there.
Yep. There we go.
The last 13, 14 months has been a season for me. It's been an intense time of warfare. And then it feels like that things just keep piling, right? And you're like, sometimes I feel like no more pile. I wonder if you got, golly. Can't you find somebody else to lay it on today? The enemy knows just when to poke you.
There he does.
And I'll tell you something. When it comes to pastors are called, and God's strength and God's grace is supplied to them to deal with a lot of stuff. But I don't care who the pastor is. I don't care what size the congregation is. I don't care how long they've been pastor. When it comes to money, it's a thing with the pastor. It's a tough thing when it comes to finances. And so the enemy knows. I don't know why I'm sharing this. But he knows right when you're taking a drink, right? And it's going to show up. I got a demonic Facebook message just as I was taking a drink this week. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what it said. It was straight demonic. It was from a person, but it was straight demonic. But right there in the middle of it, they had to put in money. Nothing to do. It wasn't anybody here, so don't. Let me, because I know some of you, you know, you want it. Others are like, Was it Matthew? But that stuck out of all the things they said. And I'm like, wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? Good thing I know who you are.
Right.
Good thing I recognize who you are.
Yep.
You know, if he was here, and you know, can I tell you, the devil's a coward.
Close.
That demon that inspired that message closed off their messenger, and I can't reply back.
Right.
I prayed first. And I just said one thing and said, that's all I'm saying, and go, we're done. But I'm like, isn't that just like the devil?
Yeah.
So I just take it to the prayer closet, see? When I can't type it out, I talk it out, amen, with the Lord. Are you with me, amen? That's the best solution anyhow. Praise God. What I'm trying to tell you is that even when you're drinking, it can get worse. Are you with me? Hallelujah. But what did Jesus do? He turned this water into wine. I'm finishing. Wine symbolizes joy, plain and simple in the Word of God. It symbolizes joy. It is a portion of celebration and praise. It is simply joy. It's simply representative of joy. We know that it represents, amen, when it's God's provision, amen, when it's poured out. Now, it represents joy, but when it's poured out, amen, it's God's ministry and provision. When Jesus, amen, gave the wine, amen, and poured it out, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood. Amen, are you with me? So, joy, amen, a wine represents joy, but when it's poured out, hallelujah, it's a portion of celebration and praise, but when it's poured out, it's God's ministry in action. It's God's provision. It's God's covenant coming into reality. Are you with me? Amen. And what does God promise us? Amen. He promises joy in the midst of all circumstances. joy in the midst of tribulation. He promises joy in the midst of sorrow. He promises joy in the midst of grief. He promises joy in the midst of death. He promises joy when we're in the battle, when we're in trouble, when we're in the fire. He promises joy. Hallelujah. He promises it in the midst of all circumstances.
Yes. Amen.
And Jesus told the servants, he said, pour it out. Look, it took faith for them to pour out that water in a wine glass. I said, it took faith for them to pour out those, to pick up those, amen, those pitchers, amen, and pour it out, amen, into the glass of the master. Jesus said, fill it up with water now, pour it out. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? See, how is wine produced? We know this. We've preached on this, taught on this plenty of times. You've heard it not just from me, but from others. Wine is produced. It comes from a process. First, the grapes got to grow. Then there's a crushing. And then there's a fermentation. Hallelujah. So there's a process, amen, to making wine. Amen. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has joy. Amen. But sometimes we don't feel the joy when we're going through and we're drinking the cup of suffering. We feel the burn. We feel the pain. We feel the grief. We feel the sorrow. Feelings are not a sin. It's how you allow them to affect you that makes it a sin. Temptation isn't a sin. It's what you do with it that makes it a sin. Come on, somebody, do you understand me? Hallelujah. So while you're drinking that, you got to know that that spirit that's in you already possesses that joy. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. Are you with me? Hallelujah. So joy is produced. Amen. There's got to be some growth. And then there's going to be a crushing. And then there's going to be a waiting period while it ferments. I need somebody to help me in this place. He that waits upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. You hang with me. I'm bringing this to an end. Hallelujah. I'm bringing it to a close. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's a process to it. It just doesn't happen overnight. Now remember, running out of the wine would have been a disgrace. But when the master of the feast took a drink of that wine, he's like, whoa. This is better than the last glass I had. Smart, smart guy. Smart guy, this the head of this house, amen. The one putting on this party, smart man, saving the good wine to the last. Smart. He said, this is good wine. Can I tell you that God will not allow us to be ashamed of our obedience?
Amen.
We'll say it again. As they pull up 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16, God will not allow us to be ashamed of our obedience. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, not as a churchgoer, not as a tithe payer, not as a good Samaritan. Now I know the world's got their own definition of this, but we're talking, let's remember who wrote it. Let's remember where the inspiration came from. We know what it means. Come on, somebody, help me in this place. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. Let him glorify God on his behalf. Sometimes I hate that I'm so transparent. I don't say I hate it, but sometimes I just don't like that I'm so transparent. But can I tell you this morning? This afternoon, it's not this morning yet. Still, you know. tried to make me ashamed to get up here and worship today. The enemy tried to make me feel ashamed for getting up here asking you to worship and calling on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
Because of the circumstances and the situation. I hate it. My heart is broken today. And I'm not saying that. But I want you to understand that you don't have to be ashamed of your obedience. That when you suffer as a child of God, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. I want you to understand that today, that God, He said, you saved the best for last. The other wine was good. But now that I've tasted this, it's better. Oh, hallelujah. The last breakthrough that you had, the last time you overcame, the last time that God took all of the situation and revealed His glory, man, it was good. Hallelujah. But just wait till this is over. Just wait till this time. Hallelujah. You thought the last time was good. This is going to be even better because the best is yet to come.
Amen.
He said, you saved the good. What did Jesus say? The Bible says that He would turn our sorrow into joy. He would turn our mourning into dancing. Oh, hallelujah. I'm closing. I want them to get ready. Now here's my whole, the whole premise of my message today. Jesus could have just created wine. He could have said, go get those water pots and pour them out. And spoke. And wine could have been in those water pots. He could have spoke. And that wine would have been in those water pots. But instead, He took the water and He turned it into wine. This is why every time you drink of that cup of suffering and you're waiting for it to go down, it won't go down. Because the water don't go away. Need somebody to hear me today. The water don't go away. What He does is He turns the water into wine, or to put it in Hebrew terms, He takes the sorrow and turns it into joy.
Yes.
To where that when you go to take a drink and you're expecting it to be water, it's wine. And somehow, someway, all the suffering, all the pains, all the wound, all the heartache, all the disappointment, all the grief, all the sorrow, all the loneliness, all that was in the cup every time you took a drink is now joy. Joy. He turns the water into wine. He doesn't pour out the water and replace it with wine. He keeps the water and then He turns it into wine. So your suffering is not going to go away. The water's not going to go down. That's why every time you take a drink, it seems like it just fills back up, because it does. But if you are obedient and you stay faithful and you trust His word and you hold to His word, I feel Jesus said, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy.
Yes,
amen. I'm not with us. And I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to make it. Somehow, some way, it's for your benefit. It's for my benefit. He said, you kept the good wine until now. Can I tell you, the best is always yet to come. Your calling, it's his calling. It's just your purpose to fulfill it. And if you suffer as a child of God, you don't have to be ashamed. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of my chains. I'm not ashamed of these scars. Not one time. Stand with me across this place so they get ready to worship. Outside of a lot of things happening all at once, I know that when I go to bed tonight, that when I take a drink, it's probably still going to be water. And when I get up in the morning, good possibility it's still going to be water. But I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that there's going to come a moment when I go to take a drink and it's going to be wine. And he's going to take everything that I suffered for his glory and turn it into joy. So don't try to dump out the water, because it ain't going to, it'll just fill right back up. It ain't going to, it ain't ever going to empty. But what he will do, and he could have just spoke that wine, but he didn't. He said, I'm gonna turn that water. And he's gonna turn your sorrow into joy. I feel that today as they begin to worship all across this place. Just give me your attention for a few more minutes, and I'm gonna let you go. If you're in this place today and you're under the sound of my voice, you've sat here while we've worshiped, you've sat here while we have edified the Lord and while we preach the word. And you can't say unequivocally that you know Jesus as your Savior. If you can't say unequivocally if your life's plane would crash tonight, would the condition of your heart land you in the presence of Jesus? You can't say that unequivocally, that you need to respond to this call right now. Right now, you need to respond to this call and say yes to Jesus. We've been scaring folks. I'm not saved. I don't serve the Lord to miss hell, but it's sure is a good benefit. I don't serve him just so I don't have to go to hell, but it sure is a good blessing. I serve him because he loves me, and he died for me so that I don't have to make the choice, but that he made the choice for me. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, come, come, come. Come on, respond to that call. This altar remains open.